This is the Ninja Rob Podcast with Marco Perazzo and Tim Carpenter. The podcast for the true martial artist.
So I thought we were going live, but the live video has been paused.
Where?
Yeah, I don't know what happened right here. I flipped it around.
Dev, you staying now?
That is God stepped in. No, I don't know. It says pause, but that's because my child is probably getting Facebook Messenger stuff. Hopefully we can... there we go. We're back.
We're back.
Man.
And Devin's out.
And Devin's out. We're back live.
Not yet.
So, how's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
Yeah?
Very good.
Mr. Fantastic, huh?
That's what. How was last week's? How was the last one?
It was awesome.
The last episode?
Always. It's always awesome.
Awesome.
It was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty. Tim ran.
That was a good one because then you guys got to cover your man getting tripped up.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Everybody, people were pointing out that we didn't bring up Charles Oliveira as a contender for.
That's why it's crazy because he's kind of like forgettable. As good as he is.
Well, also.
You only realize how good he is when you see him fight and then you forget about him as soon as he's gone.
Well, because that's the beauty of MMA is that he hasn't had a long, stellar career in the UFC, right? I mean, he's just
had a long career.
Long career, for sure. But now he's kind of made his...
Now he's having a stellar career.
For sure. But if this were boxing, you know, people wouldn't even be talking about him as a title contender with the kind of record that he has. So Charles Oliveira.
It's pretty fascinating where we are in history. Because if we all think of, like, early on, like, we knew a guy who was a road worker in the state of Oregon who got on to start fighting the UFC. And now these guys have been training and fighting for so long.
Yeah.
And there's so many different outlets for them to go. You know what I mean? It's pretty interesting.
It's practically, I believe, impossible for anyone to make it to the highest highs of the UFC without dedicating, like, it's a full-time career. Yeah. Otherwise, you know, the part-time UFC champion is a thing.
What about Stipe Miocic?
So there's an interesting job being a firefighter is that it's one 24-hour day and it's not, you're not always working, right? So that might be the one job if you're an MMA fighter to go out and get is be a firefighter, right?
Could be.
If you could do it.
Makes sense.
An interesting thing happened at Starbucks. Not today, though.
Okay.
I want to get a ruling on this.
Let's go.
I buy a double espresso.
Mm-hmm.
Do the math in my head. I was like, okay, I need $16 back in change. I give him a dollar and whatever. I'm in the car line.
Using cash?
The drive-thru.
Yes, using cash, yeah. Is there a problem with that?
What, are you a criminal or something?
Oh, because he's on live?
Trying to get him implicated.
Are you a criminal?
No, I don't use cash.
Where's your hand?
Yeah. So, I do the math. I was like, all right, 16 back gives him like $1.50 for making my coffee. I say, just give me $14 back. I've just tipped more than the coffee cost.
Right.
I had to make a judgment call. Do I correct myself?
No.
Or do I not correct myself?
No.
Have some class.
So wait a minute.
You made a mistake.
I made a mistake.
Yeah. But you gotta eat that.
You gotta eat that.
Because if it was in the inverse,
I ate it.
Yeah, you gotta eat that.
But I'm still stewing about this. Just the mistake. But also,
What's the problem? How much was the tip you gave the guy?
I was hoping to give him $1.50.
And guy, what did you end up giving him?
Like whatever, probably $3 or $4.
That's nice of you. You should.
It was.
You should be happy that you made that mistake.
I feel
and
great.
Go on with your day.
I did. I would feel better about my life had I stood my ground. And did what I wanted to do.
Right.
And you wanted to say, like, you know what?
Hey, you know what? Exactly.
You should have got back in line. Hey,
I got you.
I gave you too much.
By accident.
Yes. Yeah. So the tip, I don't know what.
That would have been an interesting story to see how that turned out.
Yeah.
But right now, it's not that interesting.
I know, but see,
I like it, though. It's cool. I get it.
Yeah, it was.
Because you're like, damn.
Yeah.
It was a little. You were a little hard body karate on
yes.
him.
Like, yeah, come
on.
I took an L
you're
on
being
that
real
one.
Generous, man. But you know what's going on. You know things are times are tough out there. So
they are.
That's what's up.
I'd rather give my kids $2.
Yo, that $3, $2 bag of weed.
Go to the lollipop store, Dad. That's 8 lollipops with that $2.
There you go.
So I'm looking at it. When you're a father, you know how it is.
Lollipops.
Yeah. Or three. Yo,
give
two more bucks is a chicken from Sam's, son. Boom, you fit in a whole family right there.
Man.
I used to measure everything in increments of
so
Sam's chicken.
I'm in a Peruvian chicken now.
Nice.
Yes.
How do they get them here?
33rd and Fairmount, Brazos.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
No, yeah, check it out for all the people on live, the seven people on what? Live.
Is this code for drugs?
No.
Actual chicken.
Yo, come on, Vlad.
Peruvian chicken is phenomenal. Moist, tasty.
Yeah. Yo, you got that. I got that Peruvian chicken.
Yeah. No, this is chicken. We fat niggas, son, over here. Realistically,
because you know people be on live, they think they saying something else, some code. Like, right. I need five white t-shirts.
Not so, that's classic.
Somebody, pies, Lukoski interjected. He goes, he's tipping more during the pandemic.
That's it. You should.
Yo. When you're papered up like he is,
who said that?
You could afford it. Mark Lukoski, the photographer.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
You know how much money photographers.
I tried to tip ladies at Walmart and stuff like that. They would fight you.
Well, really? They don't want to get fired.
Yeah, it's bad. Like, I try to, like, super sneak it. Like, man, I'm just going
for real.
Right
I don't tip at Starbucks. You tip at Starbucks?
Never.
Yeah.
Wait.
And you know what what I learned from your man?
You don't tip at Starbucks?
Never.
Ever?
No.
What a piece of shit.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
Neither do I.
I don't agree with their politics.
I go through my thing, and that's it.
But you agree with their coffee?
Yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah.
You don't agree with the politics, so you refuse to tip the employee.
Right.
You're fighting the corporate structure.
I don't agree with the employee's politics.
How do you know what that particular employee's
Because they have those name tags that say their pronouns on them.
Oh, okay. He,
she, it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
him,
man.
Her? Got it.
Oh, you getting, we going there, huh?
Yeah.
It's not that I disagree with their choice of lifestyle. I disagree with the fact that they have it on their name tag.
I've never noticed
that.
I don't care about that shit.
I've never even looked.
I don't care about their name.
It just bothers me.
Whatever it says.
It's a bad precedent.
I don't care.
Bad precedent? Did you say?
We're both fucking up because I said precedent to sent, there you go. Which I meant send.
And how did I fuck up?
You thought I said president.
Oh.
So we. Right.
How's our current president doing?
I don't know. It's not interesting anymore. So who cares?
It's still interesting. You missed the entertainment fuckery already?
It's not interesting anymore.
Nah, we going. Listen, man. This reality show hasn't ended.
What's going on now?
There's always something going on. So this is like
we at war yet?
Now I heard the Q people were really disappointed that Trump didn't have all of his opponents murdered.
Yo, you know they're still talking about he's in March.
No,
March 4th or some shit like that. Son,
he's got an office, the office of the former president.
Okay,
the office of the former president.
Wait a minute, he started that?
Yeah.
No, well, but they're saying Q was telling them that he's gonna be inaugurated March 4th.
Oh.
There's a whole, but I don't got time for that fucking horseshit.
Yeah, I need to get into some politics. What, did you have something?
Yeah, I was going to say something I learned from Tinny, because Timmy doesn't tip.
Tinny?
I tip very well, just not
you
at
do,
Starbucks.
You do, but not at Starbucks. So, yo, check this out. We were at, this is the first person I ever saw. You know when you go up to the counter, they're like, would you like to round up or donate to children with no feet? Timmy's like, nah. He was like,
hey, yo!
Nah, yo, I looked at it, I was like, oh shit, I didn't know you could do that.
He's a super villain.
Yo, nigga, now? Nah. No. What are we? Who?
They
no,
try to.
Oh, children with no eyes? Nah. I'm good. I need those 20 cents. Let me get
yo,
that
son.
Yo, first dude I ever saw do that. Yo.
How about at the Goodwill? Do you do that? Do you round up at the Goodwill?
I don't go to Goodwill.
Listen to that.
What do you mean you don't go to the Goodwill?
What would I go to for Goodwill?
He was disgusting.
Because you clearly look like you go to Goodwill. Like everything you got on look like it belonged to somebody else 5 or 6 years
bro,
ago.
Bro, what do you got? Tennis elbow? You keep rubbing your forearm.
I got severe nerve pain.
Nah, yo, I get the same thing. That gives me relief, pushing right in here.
Yeah.
So speaking of politics,
boom.
I'd like to know if my formal protest has been addressed for the Hellfish Invitational.
What was your protest?
The protest is because you own the tournament, you run the tournament, you're going to profit from the tournament.
I own it?
You own the tournament. Yes.
Okay.
You will profit from the tournament.
I don't know if I will.
Well, whatever.
I think it's going to end up costing me something.
That's your problem.
Okay.
How you run your business.
Why, are you taking investors on?
But if there is going to be a profit, it's going to be yours. So I still say that you should not be allowed to coach because it would add undue influence. It makes a ton of sense. As the owner of the tournament, as the organizer, you think the referee is going to be like, that's two. I don't know. And then you could just...
Even know the referee.
But if Mayweather has Mayweather promotions put on a fight and he's fighting,
Hire the referees. The athletic commission hires the referees. So there's a third party.
Who's paying the athletic commission for him to
they
run
pay
his show?
A fee.
Right. Who pays it? Who pays it?
That's a good point.
So if Mayweather throws a little extra in, he gets the referee.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, that never happens.
No.
Yeah, athletic commissions are never corrupt.
So you're saying yours is.
So you're saying that the Hellfish Invitational could be corrupt.
Of course it could be.
All right. So to give us a layer of protection, I think you need to, and the Republicans don't know what this means, but to recuse yourself.
Ooh.
Yeah, there we go. Taking shots.
Mm-hmm.
Recuse yourself as a coach. I still say you go around, you make sure, hey, are all the refs, the athletes, you know, do everything a promoter does.
I'm not a promoter.
Shake hands, kiss babies.
Who's running the tournament? You're promoting this event, aren't you?
I promoted it once.
You're a promoter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you promoted it too.
You
know
what they say? Y'all need a ring announcer?
No, we got everything taken care of. But no, I'm not accepting your complaint.
This is held at the facility?
No, it's going to be up in Allentown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got to fucking drive 2 hours to go to this tournament.
You have your list. You have your competitors are all set? Like everything's rock solid? Then? Okay.
And have you decided if you're dropping the 145?
I'm going to drop, yeah. So 145 is out.
145 is out.
I'm going to add a 195.
195.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
When were we going to find this out?
Maybe the day of.
You're all giving out medals, statues,
so
belts.
So it's a team tournament. There's four teams. Each team has 10 competitors. The team with the most points at the end wins. They get...
both teams' points are combined?
Yeah. Actually, maybe I might consider doing two divisions, but as of right now, it's all... Bro, this is how you prepare for a tournament.
No. Here's the thing. My worry about you having any undue influence over the tournament is really kind of, it's fleshing out right now. You don't even have the rules set. You don't have weight classes set. You don't even have an undue
influence. So are you forfeiting?
Does Hellfish have a team?
Never that.
Yeah.
No, not never, never forfeiting.
It's the Hellfish Invitational.
Yo, listen. Listen, just not to. I'm gonna come to Timmy's defense in this.
And you want to talk about corrupt? Let me go before ahead. You continue.
Let's go.
This guy is sending his 205 representative to train at my facility to spy on us.
Oh, it's, a little it's, Belichick on him.
No, right? It's called competitive intelligence.
I know what it is. You can't deal with it. We're so confident in our skills, it doesn't matter. He could send his whole team to come in.
Is the strongest man in the world competing for your team?
Yes.
Yes, cheating like a motherfucker.
Wait a minute, strongest man in the world.
Why?
The strongest man in the fucking
world. He's a white belt.
Is that Mary?
Kind of.
That's all right.
His strength is the pitch black belt.
Hey.
I mean, he's in the heavyweight division. There's going to be a lot of big guys in there.
Gotcha.
Yes, monsters.
Yeah, I don't think you should be alarmed, Marco, because as a guy that has allowed Timmy to set things up, we went to Denver one time and we got there, it was one room and we had to sleep on the floor. And I was like, yo, man, my dude, what? He was like, this is what you get when you let me do this. So, yo, don't worry about a motherfucking thing. So,
I agree with that. But also, I've seen him coach before. I really don't have much to worry about. So,
that one too.
How did NJMA do it the last Naga when they went up against the Hellfish?
Are you talking about NJMA Del Rey, Robbie Del Riando, Chris NJMA. Hughes' black belt?
NJMA.
Yeah, he did fine.
He did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just saying. He asked the question.
You have any video of that?
I have some
video.
So why don't we tell everybody what happened, Tim, if you're so proud of what occurred.
Hellfish.
If you want to shit on people.
I'm not shitting on anybody.
No. It sounds like you are.
It might sound like that, but I'm not.
Okay.
Hellfish defeated NJMA.
Oh.
So.
Oh, man.
And actually, NJMA didn't even have a coach there.
Ooh.
Yeah, because y'all never train football players.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly.
Hey, you know, sometimes we just send guys into the wild.
But I think I'm going to do the points first 3 minutes, no points, and then...
I really think...
It might be interesting.
I think it definitely makes it way more interesting. So can we lock that in now? Can you just... Okay, so right now, everybody listening, Instagram Live, 9 people.
Boom.
Yes.
It's reverse ADCC.
Reverse ADCC. Points first half. Once we get to the 3 minute mark, whatever the score is, it's locked in. If I'm up 4-0, I'm up 4-0. The only way I could lose is through negatives.
Stalling.
What happens if it gets to 0-0? If I was up 4-0, I'm going up against you and I'm stalling out, right? And it goes 0-0. It's because negative. I lost my negatives. Because I lost my
points. If you get a negative, then.
I get 4 negatives, right? So.
Wait, what? You were 0-0, you said.
Yeah, so we started off at 4-0. I'm the only one that made any points.
Uh-huh.
But then I get called for however the stalling calls work, and now it's 0-0.
And it's just a tie?
It is a tie.
I haven't thought about that. We have judges. We're going to have 3 judges.
You sure? 2, 3, 4?
We have the ref and 2 judges. 2 side judges.
Oh, and so if it goes 0-0.
That'll be ref's decision.
Are there no advantages, right? So it's only points?
Right.
All right. Interesting. So guys, we're locked into that part of the rule set. And the points for the different positions, are they what you sent me or not?
I think so. I don't remember what I sent you. Bro, it'll all be finalized.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I get it. You know, like, because my athletes are preparing.
Yeah, I'm sure. Your athletes. So are you coaching them?
Right now?
Or are
now?
You professing them?
A little bit of both. Right. A little bit of both. They get the best of both
Your
worlds.
Your athletes.
My athletes, yeah. My competitive athletes are preparing. We have wrestle-offs coming up. We have multiple spots that need to be, you know, four people.
Yeah, your problem is you have too much talent. That's your problem.
Hey, man, you know what? It's a gift from God. Yeah, wrestle-offs.
I like that.
Yeah? You could be the, what do you weigh?
Like 185.
You could jump into the
190, the new 195.
The new 195 weight
so
class.
So 145
he needs a guy.
Shot?
He needs a guy. It's white. It's white and blue belts combined. You can jump in.
Because we went from 170.
This might inspire you to get back on the mats.
Yeah, man.
He had the 170 weight class, and then the next weight class was 35 pounds up at 205. What? Yeah, that was really well thought out.
Did y'all weigh in the night before and then eat food like the real
you can,
yeah,
you
when
can
are the
you
weigh-ins?
Want.
Yeah, can I film the weigh-ins?
I might. I'll have probably.
Trusting weigh-ins?
I will probably do night before weigh-ins at Hellfish.
If you want. If you want. Gi, by the way.
No gi. Oh, okay. You can weigh in the night before. Or day of.
Can I weigh my guys in at my school?
No. They have to come to Hellfish and weigh in. Ugh. Or you can weigh in day of at the...
At the tournament. All right.
Just like any other tournament. Like Naga, like anything else.
I mean, those things are well-established, well-run tournaments, so...
This is the...
So this is unlike those tournaments.
How many...
They already have a defined rule set.
So do we. We just defined it.
back down the 8.
No, we'll have a rules meeting. We'll go over everything at the thing.
You need something cool to give people, man.
Yeah, there's going to be like a trophy. There'll be a team trophy.
Is it trophies or
it'll be a team trophy, and then so we're going to do. It's $50 to enter. Mm-hmm. If you win, if your team wins, you get your money back plus an extra 50. You double your money.
Okay. The trophy just needs to be interesting, like a gun.
There you go. Yes.
Man. Okay. Right. I'll think about it.
A gold. Okay. See, he likes that. I knew that. Yeah. I knew that would spark his brain.
A gun. Okay. Yeah. I'll think about it.
So, is that all we have to talk about with this tournament that's not... It does have a location set, right?
We got everything set.
All right, perfect.
Except for the stuff you asked about.
Except for the rules and the points and weight classes aren't...
Bro, it's
what are
this
the teams
thing.
That are in it?
So it's NJMA, Hellfish, Team Balance, and Elevated from down in Delaware.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's all Team Balance schools.
Yeah, it's like a intra... What do we call that? It's all associated schools. Mm-hmm. All in the association. So
interassociational.
Intra.
Yeah. Associational. Yeah.
I'm gonna carry on if you don't mind. Big promotions at my school this week.
Oh really?
Yeah. Handed out 3 black belts.
What?
You just handed them out, huh?
Yeah.
They didn't have to work for them or anything.
Given
just,
not earned.
Just giving them out.
Not earned. Yeah.
Nice.
Who Cuevas?
Yep.
Cuevas, he got sense. It. Eric Henningsen? Yeah. And Rob Lemazny. All 3 of them got their black. It was really, really nice. And it was.
You said you handed out 4, didn't you?
No, 3. Oh, and then Dan Pacific, it was the 4th anniversary of his black. That same day. So it just happened to fall. January 25th is.
So he got the stripe?
No, he had got a stripe last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was just the 4th anniversary of him getting his black belt. So.
That's fucked up, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice. And they're like 3. You know, those dudes are getting their black belts for various reasons, right? Yeah. You know, skill. You know, like we could just talk about Cuevas. Like, there's a dude that had a double hip replacement.
Sheesh. Ball head, right?
I think he got better after the hip replacement.
I think he did too. I mean, he was literally bone on bone. Mm-hmm. Like, probably destroyed his liver because he could do jiu-jitsu. He was taking so much Motrin to train, you know? And I went to go visit him in the hospital. He did the double hip and all these, you know, we're talking jiu-jitsu. He's like, I'm going to be back as soon as I can be back. And you see, like, a double hip replacement at a guy, he's like in his mid 40s. That's, young for that to happen. He hasn't stopped, you know, like there's never been a time where he's really stopped other than injury or surgery. And man, that guy puts you in certain areas and you know, like his jiu-jitsu, and it's like, you're like, what the hell am I doing?
That's a dude was great to me as soon as I came in there, gave me mad extra
help.
Nah,
you good dude.
Yeah.
Like no, and crazy extra help.
Yo, you Brooklyn. Should see how he set up his, his
Avenue
type
J
5.
Flatbush. Avenue J
so
Flatbush.
He set up his garage. Man, he's got a beautiful setup, beautiful mats, gym. So like even during the pandemic when we weren't open, he was, you know, like training with people or having people come in and that kind of thing. But Yeah, so just even on the quote-unquote stick-to-itiveness form, you know, the double hip replacement, you know, a lot of people, their family be like, hey, you got to probably got to stop that. Yeah. And he's like, fuck that, I'm doing it.
I wonder what his doctor said.
Who cares what his doctor said? Doctors probably said, don't do it. And then, as we used to call him, Saturday Eric, 16 years of training.
Yeah, that's great. It's cool to see him get his black belt.
Well, you know what's super cool about Eric is that he and I became friends at my first day of train at employee
martial arts?
No, at employee training at Independence Blue Cross. We sat next to each other at employee training. It was both of our first days. That happened to be my birthday, and this is the famous story of, hey, what's in the gym bag? And I always say, it's like, I felt like the nuclear football, and I go, it's my Gracie Jiu-Jitsu gi. You know, and we just started talking, and this was 25, 26 years ago. And then 10 years later, after that, he started training. He was training at Balance, and he's been training with us. So it's awesome to have a dude that you're like legitimately outside of martial arts friends with come in and train with you. And again, just a solid human being, just like Cuevas, like somebody that I could trust my family with if I had a problem, right? Mm-hmm. There's another thing I think about the black belt.
I also like the way both of those guys teach when they yes. have a time to teach. They do a good job. They're real
helpful with.
They're helpful.
Yes. Yeah. No, they're
they care. You know, what I mean? Like, they're passionate about it and they care about it. So,
Tim, you could learn a lot from those guys as an instructor.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even just a passion part. You're technically a good instructor. The passion, I would say you're more dispassionate as an instructor than passionate.
Cold and calculated.
Dispassionate. Yes, dispassionate.
Right. Cold and calculated. Methodical.
Dispassionate.
Methodical.
Right. Methodical. I like methodical.
Yeah. Methodical?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and then the last one is Lemazny, who didn't. So, Eric didn't start with me, Cuevas, day one. Yeah. And also, Lemazny came to me as a blue belt about 10 years ago.
Was that Khabib?
Khabib? Yeah. No, the other MMA fighter, he looks like.
Khabib's buddy?
No, 170 pounder fought.
Carlos Condit.
Matt Brown. Yeah. I think he looks like Carlos Condit, but
I think he looks more like a Khabib kind of guy. He looks like he's in Khabib's entourage.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so Lemazny got another dude, just like, you know, super loyal, good dude.
Yeah, man.
And all these guys have real
gotten
lives.
A lot better. All those guys I've noticed have gotten a lot better in the last like year or so.
You're welcome to those guys.
Do you think it's from your instruction or from your teaching or your coaching or your professoring?
Partly, right? You know, so I could be the best instructor in the world, but if the guys don't work hard, right? I could be the worst instructor in the world, and if the guys work hard, they might get better, but we could bring, you know, two of those things together. And then even, I think, how we set up training now and the things that we're making people do is getting people to improve and get better at techniques more so than they were doing before.
When did all this go down? What evening?
I don't know, probably a couple of years ago with the...
No, I mean, when did you get
the Monday, the 25th. Monday, right. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah. So, no, and we've given out other belts, but those were the three big ones. But again, I mean, those guys, all three of them, none of them got it for the same reason. And you could look at, you know, this is his reason, this is his reason, this is his reason. But it's really nice to be able to give it to them. And I do all of it in class.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't do I used to do the big thing, not anymore.
Nah, all those dudes are dope.
Yeah.
Shout out to all those cats. Congrats, guys.
Got some bad.
You deserve it.
Bad news at the school.
Oh, yeah.
What
do we got?
What happened?
One of the coaches at the school came down with COVID.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You guys will be fine. How's he doing?
He didn't even know he had it.
Yeah.
He was at his doctor for a separate health problem. And this was 3 weeks into getting treated. And his doctor says, you know what? Let's get you a COVID test. And he comes back COVID positive.
When the last time you rolled with him, Marco?
I'm with him every day.
Oh, okay. So you're Kobe Bryant right now.
COVID Bryant.
Yeah, Kobe.
R.I.P. Kobe. One year passed away.
Yo, we were sitting in the school and you said, yo.
So anyway, uh-oh, there he is. Steve Wilson's listening. He's one of our groupies.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
Super fan.
I mean,
so anyway.
Shout out to Barack. Go ahead.
So comes down with COVID.
Is that black and white? Rock.
We try not to.
Oh, okay. We don't say that.
No, we don't like the racial stuff on this show.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I got it.
So we're talking about it, and he lets me know that he's COVID positive, and I'm like, fuck, this sucks. But we knew this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just...
Wait, how did it happen?
We're not sure.
He didn't fill out the form, probably.
No, he did fill out the form.
Then how could he get it?
He's asymptomatic.
He filled out a form and he still got it? You even took his temperature?
Yeah. So wait.
That's crazy.
Wait, I feel like you're making fun of the process.
No. I'm flabbergasted.
You are?
That could happen.
It happened.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that just goes to show you.
Show you what? No, what it does go to show you is that having people fill that out allowed me to go back 4 days from when he got diagnosed and give every single person that's been through the school a personal phone call.
Oh, wow.
And,
that's what's up.
Yeah. And say, hey.
Contact tracing.
Nice.
Not so much, but just letting them know.
I think it was exactly contact tracing. Right. You traced all the contacts that had come in contact with them.
I don't know what you're talking about. So, and it was one of those things where I was like, man, I could do this with a text. I go, that's a dick move, I think. Yeah. Texting people just like it's really impersonal.
Yeah, like I might have gave you herpes.
Yeah,
that's what I did. Right. That's what I did to everybody. I might have put it in danger.
Not for herpes. I don't tell anybody about that.
But
you brought it up.
It's one of those moments where it's like very rarely can you say, you know, I was really proud of myself for doing that.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting in my, you know, my house on my headset, calling everybody, going through the same, even people that I knew that may have known. I wanted to reach out to every single person and be like, hey, this is what's going on. These are the precautions. You know, the precautions we're taking. We just even recently had a unit installed in our heater that does this UV light and this ionization that's supposed to, we keep the fan running all day. Nice. So it's supposed to be helpful with that. So what's interesting is that six of us, there may be even more right now, have gotten tested. All have come back negative.
Nice.
And all train with them. So his test, what they told him was, hey, this infection could have been up to 90 days ago. We're not sure.
So wait, they tested him for antibodies.
I'm not sure what they tested him for, right? So it was like a 15-minute rapid test.
But was it easier for you to tell people as you called more people? Like, was the first call kind of nervous on how they was going to, like, act?
Well, the first couple of people, I was like, oh, man. You know, like, you didn't know how they were going to react. Right. But then, you know, there's like a sales technique that you do is that you put a smile on your face to bring that through in your phone call. Right. So I just started smiling with every call. And so I felt better with every phone call, number one.
That's what I thought.
And number two is some people that were, I guess maybe they were just like taking it back, were hoping it would never happen at our school. And I would, about a couple months ago when it happened at Hellfish, I started making announcements like, guys, it's going to happen. Like we're going to, at some point, probably going to have to shut down, right? Just realize that we're making this adult decision to do this. So just be... When you're outside of here, be as safe as possible is the deal. And so a couple things, you know, like we'll be back open on Monday for, you know, regular classes and everything.
He got the rapid test.
I don't know what
so he
test
got. He has no symptoms.
Zero. He was there for.
And he got the most unreliable test there is. So
what are you trying to say?
Maybe he doesn't even have it.
Possibly, or he had it 90 days ago. He's going to get another test on Monday to confirm, which might be the currently more accurate test. So I was also happy to see that. The measures that we take that allow me to have everybody's info that's been in the school to contact them, to let them know. And people were generally very supportive and understanding where even some people were like, hey, how's he doing? Mm-hmm. You know, is he doing okay? Is it okay if I reach out to him to see how he's doing? All right. Well, when are we having classes again? And like, we'll be back on Monday. All right. See you Monday. But the kids class, we're holding off on that just a little bit longer. We're just.
Him and his lady and his son.
Why holding off on the kids' class?
I just feel like for the parents, just to give them some extra feeling that, hey, if something were to creep up with me or something else, you know. That's,
it's psychological, bro. You
understand?
It's just like TSA.
Psychological.
Come on, you
they
understand.
Not doing nothing.
No, I don't. I really don't understand.
Nah, they're just like.
Everything that everybody said is that kids just don't get it.
Yeah.
No, they get it. So that same day that he tested positive, I was at the pediatrician with my daughter because she'd had a cough for like a week. So, all right, let's take her. And before I did my own little at-home COVID test with her, I gave her a regular gummy and I gave her a sour gummy.
Okay. She was good.
Which is which? Right away, she knew both. Boom. I was like, all right, good. She's got all her sense of taste is there.
That's what they should do in the hospital.
Yo,
that's the COVID test.
The doctor was like, that's a really good idea.
Yes. Oh, listen, everybody on Instagram Live, they could 12
people.
Use that. 12?
Yo, killing it.
We up, son. We up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so she got her COVID test as well, so she came back negative. She's been in class with us. Right. But it was just interesting. I'm happy with the reaction that we're getting. People have been completely understanding and also getting out in front, having the experience that had happened at your school, and just realizing that at a certain point, I think this is just going to morph into, I'm sick. It's no longer going to be the boogeyman. It's not the especially with the vaccine coming out, more people.
Yeah, they got the whole new administration in there, and it seems to be just disappearing now.
So thankfully, you know, like I've reached out to everybody, and everybody's been supportive. That's great.
Shout out to Billy Bell. You know, be careful. Do your thing, son. You're not done yet?
I didn't.
It's weird. So what do you say?
At no point did I mention his name.
Oh,
well, it's written there.
I know, but I didn't mention it. These are my notes, not your notes.
Damn, my man's got it.
See, so, he did it.
It's son, weird. So what do you
like Vlad? Yo, Instagram Live is dangerous.
So what are you supposed to say to a guy that gets supposedly has some virus, but he has no symptoms, nothing? You say like you can't say hope you feel better because he feels fine.
Because you feel fine.
Get clear soon.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, man. I hope you can leave your house soon.
It's a fucking pain in the ass.
Hopefully, quarantine is fun. Yeah, his living girlfriend, she tested negative.
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't have it. Guarantee you, he doesn't have it.
I mean,
maybe his next test will show up. He didn't have it at all.
Yeah.
He just sent a message in through the Instagram Live. Supposedly have it is what he said.
Yeah, he doesn't have it.
Allegedly, son.
Allegedly.
He's a victim of the COVID industrial complex.
Oh, yo. Come on, son. You know what that is. You know what it's about. Just like toothpaste. Go ahead.
What?
Fluoride? Are we going fluoride on
the toothpaste and industrial complex, man. We all know about that. Man, come on. All
right.
So, as business owners and JB as a consumer.
Yes. Professional consumer.
You never trained football players.
Professional consumer.
Well, I mean, I just got to.
Right.
No offense to anybody. I got to call a spade. He's a consultant. I got to call a spade a spade.
Whoa. Go ahead.
What? Huh?
Come on, son.
I'm talking about the shovel, the spade.
Anyway, I don't think it comes from that. I think it comes from something else.
From what?
I think it comes from cards.
Oh, okay.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah, you have more experience with using the word spade than I do.
Said Spain.
No, spade.
Oh, my bad.
Like no, I don't know that shovel.
Oh, well, right. You should look it up.
I prefer Flanor Man of Leisure, but I don't.
You are a man of leisure.
I don't own a business. Go ahead.
Man of leisure.
If a very good friend of yours says, hey, Dev, or a very good friend of yours says, JB, go check them out, or a very good friend of yours, Tim, says, hey, I'm sending you a couple people, you know, they're going to come check out your school. Mm-hmm. I normally, when a good friend, like they give me a referral,
friend of ours,
like I kind of roll out the red carpet. Hey, thanks for coming. I love so and so. He's a great dude. Blah blah blah. Just to kind of make them feel at home and at ease.
That's natural.
Right?
No.
Your dispassion comes through even in business.
You get the
dispassion back at that.
Because I'm friends with you. Doesn't mean I'm going to like your friends.
The assumption is like if you came to my crib and you come to like around my family, my grandmom, anybody, it's just like, if Dev say that you good, you family. Take care of him. When you walk in, you got plates and shit.
Exactly. I understand, but
But that's the white guy in you. I get it. You don't have Latin or hot fire blood.
Right. No passion.
Again, dispassionate.
There's no passion.
Yes.
That's right.
Caucus Mountain.
Yeah, no passion.
I'm from the caucus. Yes.
Cold
Viking funeral.
That's right.
I get it.
The Yaku, when you crawled out of that cave, man, you and the rest of the Yakubians.
So, JB, when you have somebody tells you, hey, go see this guy.
Nah. Come on. I know.
The people. The 12 people on Instagram.
Hey, Grant, are we live? Yes. No, you treat them, you know what I mean? You get the word, you treat them as the people that vouch for them.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If you, he's a friend
of ours. You're representing this guy.
He's a friend of ours. Yes. All right. I'm going to treat him right.
Does he say, hey, if you tell me like, this is my best friend from childhood, I've known him for years. But if you just say, hey, a buddy of mine's going to come in, he could be a Facebook friend. You know what I mean? So it depends on how they say it.
It does depend.
And it's different if I bring you into my house, that's already a certain level. Right. It's not like if I send you a text, say, hey, my buddy's going to come in, stop by your recording studio he wants to talk to you about doing a podcast.
So that's the same way, because if you look at your business like your house, the same way you look at your dojo and everything like that, at the same time, if it does depend on how they say it, but if I'm like, yo, this is my man, what happens is you're representing for me when you bring him into the joint. You feel what I'm saying?
So, and that's, again, your dispassion comes true. To you, Hellfish is just four walls and mats. To us, You know,
I have to protect it at all costs, so I don't just drop all the fucking, I don't roll out the red carpet for some guy I never met. Everybody has to prove themselves when they walk in if they want to become a member of Hellfish.
They still have to prove themselves.
Not from what I'm hearing. You say you roll out the red carpet for just people that are friends with your friends?
Hey, look, like, like I said, the dispassion really, like, it's amazing how passionate you are about being dispassionate.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I'm really passionate about.
That's true.
100%, son.
Yeah. So this couple
please
comes
continue.
In. Thank you. This couple comes in and they're training already. They train at a school and they've already checked out a couple schools. And
I already don't like them.
Well, okay. That's fine. You can not like people that are, you know, educated consumers, whatever. You want to, like, somebody to come to Hellfish and not know anything and just join?
No.
You want to, so.
Like I said, I want them to come in and prove themselves to be worthy to be members of Hellfish.
Prove themselves to be worthy. Mm-hmm. All right. So they come in, they start training with people. They're like, so the first reaction I get from them was, like, nothing. I'm like, man, I'm trying to be nice to these people. Yeah. Mistake number one, right? Yeah. I should take the Tim Carpenter dispassionate approach to my
treat them like you treat anybody else.
No, I always treat people nice, but I treat these people extra nice because
I've seen how you treat people. Come on now. Continue though. Let's get to the story.
You've seen how I treat people that I'm trying to sign up. Different.
Yes. Yeah.
So anyway, so these people were I was just like, man, they're just they're a bit off. They're odd. You know, like I'm showing them love, like, hey, your guy's my guy. My guy's your guy. Like we're already, like Dev said, the plate, the food. Right. Potato salad.
You're like, we don't know that.
Yeah, exactly. So they were weird. They train, and it's a couple, husband and wife. And I train with the wife. I always try to train with new folks just to like make them feel comfortable. And training with the wife, or the girlfriend, whatever she was, and it was like, man, I had to go self-defense mode here. She's elbowing me. She's kneeing me. She's training in such a fashion that she's putting forth an energy. She's surprised that me as a black belt, third degree black belt, 25, 26 years of experience, am dominating a blue belt of 130, 140 pounds. This is the energy she's putting out, right? It was kind of odd to feel, you know, like the feeling of disgust that she had with how, you know, she's going hard. I gotta pin you. Like if you're gonna spaz, I'm not gonna let you injure me.
Gotcha.
Right. And then I train with her husband. Play around with him, beat him up a little bit, right? But again, so, you know, like good technique, and then showing him some stuff. Second time we go, guess what? They report back to our mutual friend.
But you beat their asses.
We go too hard. Yeah, we're a rough school.
What?
Yeah, okay. Rough was the term they used.
Yo, you catching elbows to the griddle cakes, and yes, you're rough.
I'm rough.
Okay.
I go self defense, heavy pressure.
Yeah.
Maybe. Compress a floating rib here and there.
Because you want to stop getting elbowed in the fucking face.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And I'm the rough guy. And my friend said to me, he's like, I've never heard your school be. Yeah, there's certain schools that have, you know, like they're rough, they're not technical.
Yes.
I'm not naming names, but, you know, rhymes with shellfish maybe. But, and then there's other schools that we go as hard as our opponent goes, right? They go 80, we go 80. They go 90, we go 90, right? If we're preparing for competition, then, you know, as a coach, preparing athletes for competition, we go as hard as we need to go to
get there. Wait, you're coaching?
No, we have professional coaches.
You have a different coach coming.
Did they roll with other people?
They roll. The other thing I do when established people that have been training, I never force them to train with anybody. You pick who you want to train with.
Right,
they pick you. I don't want you to feel like you're getting singled out or somebody's trying to
set you up
like, they wanted to get me fucked. You see a black belt? You could ask. And that's the one thing I told them. I was, look, we don't do heel hooks in the gi.
What belts were these people?
Both blue belts. We don't do heel hooks in the gi, and you can ask a higher belt to train. It's not a big deal. So
is blue an awkward time period for a trained fighter where they think they're more advanced or something than they are?
Then, you know, there might be. I don't know. Like, I just think that, like, since they had already been to a couple other schools and every other school they had been to, this is what's wrong with this place. This is what's wrong with
I've
that
heard
place.
It, like, some schools that, like, some of my guys have been to other schools or come from other schools, and they will say, like, yeah, it's like, we did class, and then it was like, they wouldn't even roll afterwards. Like, it was just, you come in, you do class, and then you leave. Like, you don't, sometimes you don't even roll.
Right.
So I, like, coming from that, maybe if you're used to just only rolling once in a while.
Right.
So you maybe you roll a little bit more intense, and then right. you get in with people that are always rolling and they're kind of dominating you. Maybe that's the case, but I would say good riddance.
Well, they didn't even come for class. They came for Sunday open mat, which people, I get people contacting me. Hey, can I come to your Sunday open mat? Can I come? Is it okay if I come? Can I bring a friend? Because of the open environment that we had, especially pre-pandemic, where as long as you're a member at a school, you come. And my rule is, I'm not going to try and solicit you to become a member here, but come share. Let's share jiu-jitsu together. And then the rest of the week, if you want to come, you pay a mat fee. But on Sundays, it's open to everybody. And people love coming to my school on Sundays because of that vibe, but also because there's typically a high level of jiu-jitsu practitioner there. So it was very odd.
I think it's good. It's good riddance.
Yeah, they probably weren't a right fit.
Right? Yeah, they're not a right fit.
So no, for sure. And I immediately knew that it wasn't the right fit for them.
But this is one of the reasons why I don't think it's good to necessarily treat strangers different, even if they're friends of a friend. Is because you present yourself as like rolling out the red carpet, but the red carpet's not always out. So show them what they're gonna get when they come in, not like, you know, glitz and glamour and all this bullshit.
I now see things in a way. I will admit that I get it, and
because then they always expect that.
No,
and
I would never send you a dickhead.
Right.
If I told you,
right,
my boy is coming there. He's going to be A1, I promise.
And there's the other thing.
And you need to pre-frame your friend as well.
And my friend said to me sent them, he goes, hey, man, I'm sorry. He's like, I don't think I'm ever going to send anybody again. I go, no. Send everybody and anybody. Feel fine. That's no reflection on you. It's a reflection on them.
When sometimes, like, some of my students will ask to go to, like, another gym or, like, to balance or something. And I always say, if you tell them you're – for me, they'll probably let you train for free. They won't charge a mat fee, but offer to pay a mat fee.
Buy a t-shirt or something. Yeah.
Do something, but don't go in there expecting, like, you know, these guys are my friends. They'll probably let you in, but don't put them in that position. Like, you offer to pay, and if they say no, that's great. Buy a t-shirt, like you always say.
Right.
But yeah, if you're going to recommend a friend, you got to pre-frame your friend.
Yeah, I think that's a good call too. And just say, hey, I called my guy. My guy knows you're coming. And this is how he treats my friends.
Yeah, I have to do that in our business, all that stuff, all the time.
Yeah, when I recommend anyone, I check them. I'm like, yo, listen. Like, I have I covet my reputation in any way. So I'm like, look, when I send you over here, and I'm gonna preface that by calling. If I was sending someone to the school, I'd call you. I'm like, yo, I give you, you know, the intel, right. And I would talk to them. And be like, yo, don't fuck around. So.
But no, I try. I in general, I don't. If you were telling me, like I said, if it was your best friend, you're like, I've known this guy for 20 years.
I'm a 48-year-old man. Best friend's a thing for kids.
I know who your best friends are.
I'm looking at
him. You talk
right
about
now.
Him all the time.
I'm looking at him right now.
Exactly.
Best of friends. Go ahead.
Was I in the middle of saying something?
Shut down the whole show.
What was I saying?
Fucking guys. Yo, good luck at that tournament. This fucking team tournament. Good fucking luck.
So the more the
you're gonna show us, he's gonna go.
Is
today?
They're the problem, not us.
No, you're the problem. You set yourself up for this.
Set myself up for failure.
Yeah, it's not their fault. It's your fault. Fuck. It's always your fault. But it's always my fault too. Anything that happens to me is my fault.
Yes, you're right. That is always your fault.
So you have no right to. We shouldn't be talking about them. We should be talking about you and the things that you
feels
can.
Like, no, feels
the,
like you are.
Things you can do to fix. Feels like you are. The issue.
Be who you are. Stay consistent. Yes. It didn't work out with these.
I will always be passionate about my school. Number one. Always. And if you ever want to learn how to do that, I might be able to help you. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'll always be passionate about my friends because I appreciate the friendships that I have. I don't have many, right? And I don't really care to have many.
Right.
So the people that send me a referral or a friend of a friend. I want to treat.
Let's
just
name
like
some
that.
Names. Who was it?
I don't even remember. I blocked their names out.
Look how devious he looked.
You don't remember the friend that referred him?
No, I do remember the friend that referred him. Yeah.
You tell me after.
It was a slippery slope. Okay. He probably doesn't want to get outed.
There you go.
Not on air. But
we're on live.
Yes. Yeah.
We can't blur. We can't.
All right. We see everybody watching. Man, we're down to 9.
That's all right.
Trending down. So you get a ping on whatever social media you have and or however people tell you that they are interested in Hellfish.
Mm-hmm.
And in the first two sentences, the gentleman, I presume to be a man, I think he is, says, how long is it going to take me to turn pro? What's been your history with people that come out of the gate just like that?
I treat them just like everybody else. Like, do you want to come in and try a free class? Like, I don't feed into their bullshit. Anybody that asks that is full of shit. So I say, hey, you can come in Tuesday and try a Muay Thai class if you want. Yep. But that's about it. I wouldn't treat him or indulge his fantasies.
Really?
Yeah. Again, treat everybody the same. You avoid, because if you were to, like, let's say you wanted to sign this guy up.
Yeah.
So you kind of blow smoke up his ass, like, you know, we could get you to pro in
3 months. We could make it pro.
Anything you say is just, it's going to be bullshit. It's up to him if he wants to turn pro. It's not up to.
That's not the route I was thinking. Like, when I heard it, I was just like, yeah, this isn't a place for you.
With a guy, but so you could do that. So, yeah. But it also could be, I don't know, martial arts attracts a lot of weird people. So he might think that if you train, you have to turn pro. Like, people think that they're going to come in and get thrown into a cage to fight people on their first day. That's like what a lot of people are like scared about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and that's it.
Which sounds so crazy to us because we've been around it our whole lives.
See, but, and there's when you're nice to people, not dispassionate, it lowers that fear, that barrier to entry. But I digress. So this gentleman, that's what I said to him. I was like, hey, man, I think we're putting the cart in front of the horse here. I go, first thing you need to do is come in. Right. And it's okay. I think I could come in Monday. I was like, all right, I'm going to put you on the schedule for Monday. Doesn't show up. Give him a couple days. I text him. He's like, yeah, I'm serious about coming in. He's like, my last trainer told me, I trained with him for 2 years. Now there's more info coming out. He said he'd get me a fight and he never did. I was like, if all you want to do is turn pro, I can give you the phone numbers for the different promoters and they'll have no problem with trying to get you a pro fight. Mm. They would love to get guys to get their ass kicked. Like, if all you want to do is turn pro. He said, no, it's not that. I said, well, dude, you got to come in. So now he went from not showing up, and then one day he fills out the form, you know, the COVID form to let me know, you know, who's been in the building. And I'm like, all right, man, the guy's showing up today. Doesn't show up the day he fills the form out. And I keep texting him. He's like, hey, now this is just...
Now it's just for your enjoyment.
Yeah, for my enjoyment. Man, are you serious about turning pro? Yeah. Oh, when are you going to come in? Oh, you know, I'm busy with work. Like, it's got to be a priority. It's not no, it is a priority. I go, well, it doesn't seem like it. If it was a priority, you'd have come in the three different times you said you were coming in. So, yeah, that's interesting. And then now you get the flip side of that, where I had a kid join, and a week later, he signed up for the Hellfish tournament with a week of jiu-jitsu experience. You know, the kid's about it.
Maybe he just want to get busy.
He does. He clearly wants to get busy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, and he's young and he's training hard and he's already wrestled all the way up until high school. So he's given people problems and he's training for a marathon.
Nice.
So he's got all kinds about it. Yes, he is for sure. So I want to see what your advice would be, even though. You might give me the wrong advice since he might be representing NJMA at the Hellfish tournament. But if you had someone that was in good cardio shape, athletic, hard worker so far from everything that I've seen, wrestled 4 years of high school wrestling here in New Jersey, so pretty good wrestling, would never say great or clearly not world class, but good, and has enough wrestling to give blue belts trouble while he's training with him. How do you develop that aggressive wrestler that's transitioning into jiu-jitsu and MMA? Like, what are some of the things? I know you've talked about.
You make him start off his back every time. So he can already wrestle. He can revert back to that when he needs it. And you just tell him every round he just starts from his guard. Or starts, even better than starting from his guard, is starting like being mounted and like having people
that's
on his back.
Real.
And stuff.
Yeah, that's real.
Because if he can get past that, I mean, even putting a wrestler in the bottom of the mount isn't usually an issue because they can blast their way out of it.
Right, right. Yeah.
So I would say start him in like guard, half guard, stuff like that.
Cross side maybe a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. But I think in pins, wrestlers are usually really good at getting out.
Right.
It's fighting off their back and being comfortable attacking from the back.
But you still can't get the way that you mount somebody is so different than the way that you pin someone when we wrestle. that I definitely ran into getting, once I was on the bottom, it was like it was over, but I was able to take everybody down and get on top. Like I could wrestle everybody down, but being on that other side was a problem. I wish that earlier I would have started starting from the bottom.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? One of the first issues I had, I thought I was okay as long as I wasn't on my back, you know, from wrestling in high school. And then Joe Prioli popped my arm.
Joe was very good, number one.
No, of course, and I was terrible, but yes.
But the other, so you're saying that, you know, wrestlers are usually pretty good at getting off bottom, but the caveat I would throw in is that if their initial escape, their initial burst of escapes don't work, then that's usually when they get stuck, right? Like they're 1, 2, 3, where maybe worked for them in wrestling, now doesn't work.
Or blow out their asshole, continue.
Yes, yeah. Rectal fissure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to have them start off bottom, anything else?
No. I mean, I would like, you mean a specific training program for this guy?
No, I don't want that because I want him to win.
No. Okay. No, just have him start off bottom and have him work on submissions, like just basic submissions that aren't fancy and they're high percentage. Rear naked choke, guillotines, anacondas, stuff that positions he'll get to on his own. Front headlocks, getting behind people.
Americanas, right? That's simple.
Nah, I don't even really teach the Americana anymore.
Americana's not a high level competition move.
I actually think it limits people's progress because that's when a lot of times that's the first thing you teach somebody. So that's all they go for. And a big strong guy when he first learns it can get a lot of people with it.
And they do.
So why would he ever learn to move more? Because he's like, oh, I can just Americana everybody until
right. But it's the concept. So I agree with you on that to that standpoint. But the people that are getting Americana, like as you move up the food chain, that big strong guy is not going to be. Mm-hmm. Americaning people, but they're going to give you certain reactions that lead into other things that Americana attack is giving you. So that's where I disagree with Tim, that I think the Americana attack, not as a submission, but as an attack, as a threat, yes, is a good one, especially for the big guys to get secondary submissions off of it.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I taught an Americana. I don't teach. I teach the Kimura a lot because the Kimura is a much more versatile move. I would steer him away from Americanas.
Okay.
And towards Kimuras. Kimura is a far superior.
What submission are you teaching them from the mount?
Head and arms, arm bars, taking the back.
Okay. Duly noted.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't. I would. I might show him the Americana grip and tell him to rip it across the other side and go for an arm bar. Okay. Like use the Americana grip as an armbar,
like
but
like I said, dispassionate about teaching, also
effective, calculated whatever. And effective. So, methodical.
So, speaking of competition and fighting, a buddy of mine, buddy of our friend, Mr. Mote, Steve, but he's been doing martial arts for a long time. He sends me this thing called the martial arts diagram or map. So I had to kind of change it up for our purposes here. But this guy, Ian Abernathy had come up with this thing for karate, right? Where he has these different circles where he's broken up martial arts into, in his case, three different circles. In our case, we're going to go four different circles. Those are the circles. Look, so nice. I made that graphic designer now. So we have it broken down into self-defense, pure self-defense, right? We'll say pure martial art. Pure martial sport, pure fighting, right? And trying to figure out what art kind of covers, can fill in the most check marks here, right? Where, like, when I'm thinking, if I only want to teach somebody self-defense, right? No sport, no fighting, not MMA,
right?
You know, like, what are some of the arts that come to mind where you're like, man, this is only good for self-defense? For basically the attack that you weren't prepared for. That's what they're training for. Right? What comes to mind for me is Krav Maga. Is there any other art that you're kind of like
that? Just pure self defense. Yeah. I guess Krav Maga, yeah. I mean, I don't, they're all fake anyway.
Krav Maga's fake.
They're all kind of unproven. They're all theoretical things, you know?
But I'm saying from a training standpoint, Krav Maga would be the one where.
I'll tell you what. Spear, Tony Blauer stuff.
Krav Maga.
That's way better than Krav Maga.
Okay. And the stuff I was talking to you earlier about Swamp.
Was there
and you signed a non-disclosure agreement, but was there any training in actual techniques?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, interesting. So then if we'll come back to all of this in a second. Now we're looking at martial art. Like if you were to say, hey, this is a martial art, not particularly a fighting style.
Zero application in self-defense, sport, or
fight. Or it's one of those one where it's like, yes, but we could cross it over too into all of them because then we could see like what
Tai
could,
Chi.
So Tai Chi is a pure...
Pure saying? Art. It doesn't help you in a fight at all.
Okay.
I would say the only one I would say other than that would be Aikido, but Aikido, maybe there's a wrist lock that could work.
Right.
But Tai Chi is capoeira. Capoeira too. That's just dancing.
Yeah, but that seems more like real strikes and stuff like that.
But also, capoeira guy, just if you're high level, you're an amazing, usually like these crazy athletes.
Like a gymnast,
is going to be tough to fight just based on athleticism.
I would say Tai Chi.
You agree with Tai Chi being kind of.
Maybe.
Something that doesn't cross over into these other, not much, if any, self defense.
Right. And when
their
practitioners are generally, you know,
old Chinese
they
women.
They might be,
like Mrs. Lee.
I'm sure. Yeah. But, you know, like they're not looking for a fight. It's more about wellness, it seems like.
Right. And now we're looking at martial sports that has aspects of the martial arts, the tradition of the martial arts, but also have a competitive aspect to it.
Well, outside of jiu-jitsu right now, I mean, taekwondo.
Or judo. I thought judo and
taekwondo.
It doesn't cross over into self-defense or martial art, either
wrestling
or fighting.
Or boxing. Yeah. I'd say wrestling or boxing.
Well, that's where I would go into fighting. I would say wrestling or boxing take off the fighting.
Oh, okay.
Rather than martial sport, where judo and jiu-jitsu.
See, I say MMA is fighting. The other ones are sports.
He's right.
Yeah, but the martial aspect of it, where there's a chain of command that's respected,
there you go,
in rank and that kind of thing, not in boxing and in wrestling. That's not normally. It's
wait a minute.
You don't have a white belt in wrestling. You don't have a blue belt in wrestling, right? You have that in judo. You have that in jiu-jitsu. So that's where we have. Mm. That's where we fall into more of a fighting category.
You have amateurs and pros.
Yeah, but that's based on
money.
Based on getting paid. So martial sport, we could say judo, right?
I guess judo or jiu-jitsu.
All right, we go judo/jiu-jitsu, right? One or the other, and then fighting. We already covered that a little bit, right? What was it? Boxing,
MMA,
MMA, right?
MMA, boxing,
wrestling. Mm-hmm. So with all of these that we have, like, what would you, if you had to pick one that could fall smack dab in the center, that is self-defense, martial art, martial sport, and fighting.
That's easy.
Which one is it?
Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu. It's the only one that covers them all.
I don't agree.
You said mixed martial arts already.
Oh, yeah, but MMA doesn't always have a martial aspect to it. You could just be dudes in shorts and t-shirts that just train fighting.
Yeah, the only one that fits is jiu-jitsu.
But I would love to... I don't think any of them fit in here.
I
don't think any of them fit in here because they might... Do 3 out of 4, not 4 out of 4.
What doesn't jiu-jitsu do?
Not every jiu-jitsu school. Oh, I'm sorry. People can't hear you. They can't hear hand signals.
What everybody does doesn't matter. What does the art have for you? Like,
I don't know.
So if I walk into... We'll say the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu Academy.
Yes.
You get self-defense. You can compete if you want.
If you want,
the training that you're doing will translate into competition.
All right. So now you go to...
And it would translate into MMA, and you can do it just for the art of it.
What if I said, all right, I'm not going to the Gracie Academy. I'm going to Art of Jiu-Jitsu, and I want the same thing out of Art of Jiu-Jitsu.
Still works.
No.
Yep.
Doesn't.
Of course it does.
They may know the self-defense. They might be phenomenal at it, but those guys aren't teaching it.
So you're saying it has self-defense has to be taught, basically like Gracie self-defense has to be taught because this is what I'm saying is the skills that you develop in jiu-jitsu will win you a fight. If you just double leg a guy, take him down and choke him, that's how a jiu-jitsu guy fights. Yeah. That's how he competes in a sport.
Yes.
That's how he masters his art.
Well, we could look
and that's how he fights.
Amaury Bitecci was one of the greatest jiu-jitsu competitors of all time, trained at one of the most acclaimed jiu-jitsu school with Carlson Gracie.
Just not a good fighter.
MMA fighters, right? And Mestre Hulk.
But he just wasn't a good fighter. So just because the art and covers all those doesn't mean that everybody that practices that art is going to be the best fighter on earth.
What I'm not saying that need to be the best fighter, but what I'm saying is it none of these arts can fill all four of these boxes.
And jiu-jitsu does.
It doesn't.
Of course it
does. Because of the school. That the school...
We're talking about the art. We're not talking about the schools.
Yes. And the schools are interpreting the art.
We're talking about the art of jiu-jitsu.
Yes. Perfect jiu-jitsu, example.
Like jiu-jitsu as it's generally practiced.
So name the things. Art of jiu-jitsu can be a sport.
Mm-hmm.
Art of jiu-jitsu... What else? What's the other?
Martial art.
You could train...
Continue.
Martial sport?
It's definitely a martial sport. And for sure, you could fucking kill someone in a one-on-one fight.
I completely agree that it covers them all. Cover all four.
But you're saying...
But typically, in our modern day of Brazilian jiu-jitsu, it does not.
No. So what I'm saying is that if you train jiu-jitsu at Art of Jiu-Jitsu, if you get in a fight with a guy that doesn't know how to fight, you'll probably win. If you enter a tournament, you can win. You can practice at Art of Jiu-Jitsu just to master the sport. And what's the other one?
Self-defense, fighting, martial art.
And plenty of MMA fighters go to Art of Jiu-Jitsu to train for... So, Jiu-Jitsu covers it all.
Are they training their MMA at Art of Jiu-Jitsu? They're training their
Jiu-Jitsu? Training Jiu-Jitsu for MMA. Like, Jiu-Jitsu has an answer for everything.
I agree. You are correct.
So, it...
No.
Okay. You can think you're... But the problem is that you're 100% wrong.
I'm the one with the paper.
Right.
I'm the one with the paper.
But you're 100% wrong because Jiu-Jitsu covers it all.
Now, you say that a lot, but I don't agree with that.
What? Jiu-jitsu? So you can't use jiu-jitsu in self-defense?
No. The points you're making, you're right in that sense, but when
yes, I'm right in what he's talking about.
But the art has the capacity for all that.
But a lot of arts have, and then there's always...
Because you could say the same thing about karate, right? Like, people shit on karate because it's the cool thing to shit on karate because of how jiu-jitsu promoted itself for a long time. Mm-hmm. But, man, there's probably a ton of karate guys that... would go up against just a pure sport jiu-jitsu guy and Maigiri?
Probably not. Snap
kick him in the face.
Not. I think most people that do karate, right? Most people, right? Not dudes that are...
Our children.
Well,
Well-trained.
Not guys that are well-trained like this man right here to the right of me, right? I've seen a lot of people that know karate get... fucked up.
Well, because they're training the martial art. They're not training the fight. They're not training the self-defense. They're training choreographed moves that they think translate to fighting.
I hate to use myself as an example. I used jiu-jitsu for self-defense when I was a bouncer. I fought professionally. I've competed in the sport. And I do it now just for the mastery of the art. I have it all covered just with jiu-jitsu.
So when you fought MMA...
My first fight had zero striking. Jiu-jitsu.
Anybody that's never seen fighting can tell them that
jiu-jitsu. Yeah, just training jiu-jitsu.
No striking whatsoever.
Nope.
Any strikes were terrible.
I agree.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, they were awful.
So that just proved my point.
At that time, everybody was a little unsophisticated
goes to prove my point.
As well.
But yeah, so I think that unfortunately, no one's ever going to be able to get that sweet spot.
No, jiu-jitsu does.
Sure, you could
already has it,
and it's lost.
I proved it like 17 different ways in the last 10 minutes.
Sure, just like the election. So, I think the kids would say, "Got him." Well, they're probably teenagers now.
I don't know if they would.
Yeah, they would.
The kids are idiots.
So I don't think any art does. I think a particular school could could say our jiu-jitsu fills.
It's because of the amount of information he's gathered through his travel. So, like, when you talked about your history, you also trained in other things outside. You know, your foundation was jiu-jitsu, but you would box. I mean, you're not in my first fight.
When I started bouncing.
That's not what
I'm
not talking about that. I'm talking about
your seventh
max exercise.
The guy that you are now, what you can give to your students now, there's so much information. It's the amalgamation of all the things you've learned.
Right, but so... Just from training at Maxercise and Balance.
You won your first MMA fight.
Right. And I bounced.
Congratulations.
And I won tournaments. I did a bunch of stuff. So I mean, that completely disproves everything you just said about like the jiu-jitsu doesn't cover those things.
The Maxercise can fit in those all.
And bounce. So every school has to fit, that teaches the art, has to teach that style in order for it to fit that.
Yes. They have to be able to produce.
Every single school and every single person must be able to do all those things.
An athletic, overweight guy that wants to fight MMA can use a single skill and win with it. Yes.
If there was one, it would be jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
If there was one, it would be jiu-jitsu.
No, there was one. Maxercise. They produced you.
Right.
You won your first MMA fight. End the case. Here. Moving on. So the school can fit it. The art cannot. Because of the human element.
It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever. So.
Jiu-jitsu definitely covers all those quite easily.
Yes, it does. All right. So we have a question coming in from one of our groupies.
I think this is a great question.
Yeah, Ninja Rob groupie we have.
He's not a groupie. He's a loyal listener.
He's a groupie.
He's one of the premier athletes at Hellfish.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, he's also one of your black belts, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And he will be in the tournament?
I don't think so.
No?
Who's this?
He needs to thank me at every anniversary of that black belt. I should get at least a thank you card. He was in the red zone and I push him through.
Gotcha.
I advocated. I do what I do when I could do it. Hey, guys. If you had to, and sorry for anybody that doesn't like curse words, but these are his words, not mine. So I'll start again. Hey, guys. If you had to fuck, marry, kill a BJJ tournament, ADCC, fight to win, EBI, IBJJF, etc., what are your picks and why?
This is a good part.
Fuck. You can only watch once a year. Marry. It's the staple of BJJ and is on weekly. Kill. You never have to see that event again. Regards, Steven Wilson, Ninja Rob Groupie.
You want me to go first?
Yes, please.
I would fuck the IBJJF World Championships.
Okay.
I would marry ADCC.
Okay.
And I would kill EBI.
Kill EBI. Okay. JB, do you have anything you'd like to?
No.
No. JB says no. Dev, you got any? No.
I watch UFC, guy.
Yeah. I don't even know the whatever the last. I think the last tournament I was in was IBJJF or whatever that is.
IBJJF rules.
Yeah, those. I don't remember. Whatever the one when we were in New York. But I can't.
All right, so
I couldn't tell you the difference in them.
The one that I would only if I could watch it once a year, I'll agree with Tim. The Worlds, I wouldn't want to see that every day or every week. I again agree with Tim on ADCC. It would be a staple of BJJ's on weekly at that high level because it clearly is a true world championship.
It's the best rule set.
It's the best rule.
I think it's the best rule set too.
It might be the second best rule set now.
Second
best rule set. And kill, I would kill combat jiu-jitsu.
Is that on there?
It's not, but he said et cetera, so I'm going with the et cetera. Yeah, I would kill combat jiu-jitsu.
I would take combat jiu-jitsu over EBI.
I would rather watch EBI over combat jiu-jitsu.
Really?
Yeah. If I want to watch people slapping each other on the ground, I'd rather watch them.
I thought the same thing. Watch so the last, I watched the last one on Fight Pass, and it was actually... They had really good jiu-jitsu guys. They had the Rotolo brother was
there.
And he fucked some people up. Like, he stood over them in their guard and was, like, dropping those, like, straight palms down. He was fucking people up with his strikes. So
I'd rather watch Pancrase.
We can't anymore. Now it's just MMA Pancrase.
Okay.
You want to watch the old Pancrase.
Old Pancrase.
I would prefer combat jiu-jitsu over EBI. I think EBI is probably the worst rule set there is.
I don't agree.
I think EBI destroys... a lot of aspects of the martial arts. It takes it completely out of self-defense and fighting and makes it just, it's just about submissions. There's no need for good position. There's no need for takedowns.
Without EBI, the Death Squad probably wouldn't be as revered as they are now. Nice. Danaher's effect on jiu-jitsu probably wouldn't be this deep. So if we take EBI away, we might change the course of jiu-jitsu in America. And I think he's done a good thing because it wasn't, the IBJJF Worlds is Brazilian centric.
Mm-hmm.
EBI is not.
Right.
So it gives a lot of Americans.
Yeah. But have they even done an EBI recently?
No.
It's already been killed, I think.
But EBI, you know, like the fight to wins, those kinds of things. I know they're not
way
the similar
than EBI.
I like fight to win as well, but I thought EBI was a good one. And Yeah, I would get rid of combat jiu-jitsu. So, Half Gracie's got to do 6 months in jail.
That's not so bad.
I don't agree with it at all. I think he should be let go.
Why?
It was a self-defense test.
Is there a video of him storming the Capitol?
No.
He sucker punched a guy. And,
Not a sucker punch. It was not a punch.
What was it? Elbow?
Forearm shiver. Yeah. Forearm shiver to the face, knocked some teeth out. But I think
you knocked somebody's teeth out and you had to go to jail. What crew are you joining?
What gang?
I think we all know.
Yeah. Purple?
I'm joining the 5%ers.
Pink police?
Of course.
5%ers.
Okay.
The Nation of Gods and Earth. I got you. Or the Twinks. One or the other. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Yeah.
I can't be a Twink.
So I think it was one of those things. It was a combat sport event that they were at. It's expected the combat sports can
occur. They weren't competing.
Apparently, one guy thought he was.
They were on the sidelines, and they were arguing over business.
I don't even know if they were arguing.
Yeah, but, just one guy was just assaulting the other.
I mean, it was a self-defense test. It was an old school Gracie self-defense test. He was trying to see if the other gentleman was ready to defend himself, and he clearly wasn't.
I don't think that's
he failed. Going on. He failed one of the circles here, self-defense. Your jiu-jitsu circle
center. But Half's jiu-jitsu was ready for it.
100%. Half Gracie jiu-jitsu ticks off all four of those boxes. Right, because of the school. Yeah. But the other guy doesn't tick off all the boxes. Wasn't ready for the forearm shiver.
I don't think he's ever fought before.
May not have.
He just did a grappler.
And see what happens to a grappler? So you just proved my point.
He got his whole shit mind, son. Just bang.
Peace.
Tim and I would like to thank our sound engineer and studio owner, Devin Wade, for always doing a great job with the sound, but also the beautiful facility that we get to use here at SFX Studios. We'd also like to thank Eddie Lynn, who takes and donates his time to the podcast to do all the video editing and everything you see on our social media. So really appreciate that from Eddie Lynn. And we'd also like to thank our friend Ralphie Darden, a.k.a. DJ Major Taylor, who gave us the original music that we use. So you're welcome, Tim.
And almost just as importantly as everybody else that he mentioned, we would like to thank all of our listeners that submitted questions.
This is the Ninja Rob Podcast with Marco Perazzo and Tim Carpenter, the podcast for the true martial artist.